Today, the sermon title is Position for Victory. And I want you to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. And we're only going to stay there just for a moment, but I wanted to read this scripture to you because it's one that you may be very familiar with. And if not, you should be, because the Lord has His blessings upon your life. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you future and a hope. This is how God thinks towards you and I today. So if ever in your mind you wondered, I wonder what God thinks about me. Well, let me tell you, are you ready for it? He wants to bless you and He wants to prosper you. That's exactly what this scripture says, and that's exactly what the Lord wants to do in your life. He wants to bless you, and He wants to prosper you. You and I today serve a good God. Do you doubt that? If you do, you need to cast that thought of doubt out of your mind, into the pit where it belongs. Say this with me. God wants to bless me. God wants to bless me. Say it again. God wants to bless me. Have you not heard me say, we are created by God and for God? He has a plan for you and He has a purpose for your life. Listen to me. Jesus came and took our place on the cross, and how much more proof do you need to know that God wants to bless you? It shouldn't be anything else, should it? He took our place. We were standing in line waiting for our, because the wages of sin is what? Death. And what is death that we're talking about? We're not talking about falling asleep in the Lord. We're talking about eternal separation from God. For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is eternal separation from God. And when you are standing in line to take that, standing in line for that position, for your turn, the Lord Jesus said, here, let me take your place. God wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you. In John 10:10, let's go there very quickly. It's one that so many in the church have already memorized. But in John 10 and verse 10, it says this. In verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, who is the thief? The adversary, the devil. I have come, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more what? Abundantly. Jesus says, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, in my prayer life on 11/18/24, which is only a few days ago, through my prayer, the Lord spoke to my heart. And this is what He told me. This is what He gave me that morning. A word to the church. I, the Lord, see those that are standing in faith, waiting on me in a stance of faith and belief. I see and I will bless that answer, that victory is on the way. So say that with me. Victory is on the way. Victory is on the way. We have talked before about positioning ourselves to be blessed. What does that look like? Well, number one, I know that Christ is my Redeemer, aligning ourselves alongside with the Word of God. Is your life lined up with the Word of God? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Saints, I give you a written guarantee. A written guarantee. If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, and if you are aligning yourself with the Word of God, you will be blessed. Too many Christians take themselves out of position to be blessed by aligning their values with their self rather than God. Have you ever done that? Hello. So let me ask you today, have you placed yourself in a position to be blessed? We move on from that today because I've spoken about that before. But today I want us to move on that we are positioned for victory. And what does that look like? Well, say this with me. I am positioned for victory. I am positioned for victory. One more time. I am positioned for victory. So how do I position myself for victory? What does that look like? Well, the first two words of your faith proclamation should give you an indicator. The I am. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. Exodus 3 and verse 13. In Exodus 3, verse 13, he says this. Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent you to me.' Moreover, God said to Moses, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations.'" I am positioned for victory, number one, because through Christ, I belong to the great I am. So your first two words, I am. I belong to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I belong to the Holy One of Israel. He is the Ancient of Days, the one who is without beginning and without end. Saints, that's not telling God how big your problems are, but that's telling your problem how big your God is. We need to make those faith proclamations. They are so important in our lives because sometimes we'll pray quietly, sometimes we'll read the Bible quietly, but we don't make that faith proclamation. Who are you? Who do you stand for? I stand for the great I am. The great I am is my Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. That's who I am. The Lord is going to bless me. The Lord is going to prosper me. Satan, get out of my way because I'm coming through. I am going to gain the victory over this. What did Jesus tell them in Mark? If you say to this mountain, "Be moved," well, we have mountains in our life that need to move. These faith statements are so important. It states our faith. It states our stance. We stand for the Holy God of Israel. Mountain, you have to move. Victory is mine. Turn with me to Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. Mark 11, verse 22. Sometimes when it comes to praise and it comes to proclamations, we make the simple statement, "I don't feel like it," because I'm discouraged, I'm depressed, I am down, I just don't feel like it. And you know what? That's when you need to do it most. You need to pull yourself. It's kind of like you and I today. If we didn't feel like coming to church today, but we get ourselves around, "I don't want to. I don't really feel like it. I want to sleep in today. I've had a rough week, but I'm going to get around. I'm going to drag myself there because I know that's where I need to be. I need to sit under the presence of the Lord. I need to sit under the anointing of the Word, and the Lord is going to do a work in my life." He does the same thing through your faith proclamations. That you proclaim God's goodness. You proclaim God, that He is wonderful and merciful, and you praise Him forevermore. In chapter 11 of Mark, and verse 22, it says this, "So Jesus answered and said to him, 'Have faith in God. Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, "Be moved and be cast into the sea," and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he asks. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." There's no sense praying if you're not going to believe, is there? What is that mountain that is in your way? Have you told it? Have you told it who you are and who you stand for? So step one is positioning yourself for victory, is belonging to the great I am. Now turn with me to our text for today. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles and chapter 20. 2 Chronicles and chapter 20. Now, when you get to 2 Chronicles in chapter 20, and it may be a little hard to find because it's not a scripture you usually go to on a daily basis, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, if we look at verse 1 and 2, in verse 1 and 2, it kind of gives us the background of what's going on in the nation of Israel. It happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon, and others with them besides the Amorites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. So the people were about to be overrun by the enemy, and they were surrounded by on all sides. Now we pick it back up at verse 3. So you go with me to verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared. He was afraid. And he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms to the nation? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in the temple, and we cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and you will save. Amen. In Jehoshaphat's prayer, he claimed who God was. Saints, in the mountain in your life that you're facing, whatever that mountain looks like, have you prayed? And I'm sure that you have prayed. I'm sure that many of us have been praying for years. But in that prayer, have you proclaimed who God is? Look at what God says in verse 15. In verse 15, he says this. He says, and he said, listen to you of Judah, all of you Judah, and your inhabitants of Jerusalem, you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is what? It is not yours. Now think back on this at the beginning of the sermon. God wants to bless you and he wants to prosper you. So the battle that we are in doesn't belong to us. We give it over to the one that can do something about it, and that is the Lord. I place it in his hands, and I practice walking away from it. Amen. Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them, and they will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel, and you will not need to fight in this battle. What does he say to do? Position yourselves. Position yourselves for victory. In the battle that you're facing and whatever that you're waging war against today, have you and are you positioning yourselves for victory? He says, position yourselves and then do what? Stand still. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord, and is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Verse 20, so they rose up early in the morning. They went out into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing what? Praise to God. Not too long ago, you heard me say that sometimes when I praise God, and if I get down and I get discouraged, I double up on my praise. I don't walk away from the Lord saying, Lord, I just don't feel like talking to you today. So many things in our life we blame God for. And we need to walk away from that and start putting the tail on the donkey of who it belongs to. It's not God, it's the adversary. Because we've already identified that God wants to bless you and prosper you if you've positioned yourself to be blessed of God. He says in verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Amen. If we back up just for a moment in verse 1 and 2, he had already identified who the enemy was. And saints, our enemy is not God. How many times have you heard people say, I don't know why God is doing this to me? Our God wants to prosper and bless you. Our God is a good God. Don't blame God for something the adversary is doing. Verse 17 says what? Position yourselves and stand still. Meaning what? Wait. That's something that we in the American culture are not very good at doing. I've had issues that have arose in my life in the last few years that sometimes people will say, well, you need to take care of this, Pastor. You need to take care of this, Pastor. You need to take care of this, Pastor, when I've already prayed about it. And you know what the Lord told me? The Lord said, I will take care of it. When the Lord gives me that peace and speaks to my heart, that I will take care of that, what do I need to do? I need to leave my hands off from it and let God be God. Amen. And so many of the times we are so quick to jump in this and tell people what they need to do. You need to be doing this. You need to be doing that. You need to take care of this over here, when we should have left our mouth off from it, give it over to the Lord, praise God and worship God and let God do his work. In this instance is a beautiful picture that is given to us. The enemy was destroyed and all, listen to me, the enemy was destroyed, and you know what all the only thing the people had to do? Worship and praise. Amen. The attitude of waiting is a position of prayer and praise, and not taking things into your own hands. In verse 21, the victory was theirs. So by the numbers, we'll close for today. By the numbers, position for victory. What does it look like? Number one, the statement of faith. I belong to the great I am. It's a faith proclamation in your prayer. I belong to the great I am. I belong to my Heavenly Father through my faith in the Lord Jesus. Number two, I pray exalting who God is. And number three, I identify the source. Every earthly problem, I want to say this again. Now listen to me very, very closely, because it's so important in your own spiritual walk. Identify the source. Every earthly problem has its roots in a spiritual issue. I want to say that again. Every earthly problem has its roots in a spiritual issue. Jesus didn't come to take care of the physical issues. He came to take care of the spiritual problems. And when you take care of the spiritual problems, the issues go away. The physical issues go away. I'll prove that to you in just a second. Number four, I worship and praise. I worship and praise. Number five, I wait on God. Victory is on the way. Nothing happens when nothing happens, what do? I repeat and I repeat and I repeat. You never give up on your faith in God. Now let me prove that scripture to you. I don't have it written down, but I think I can find it for you. You go to the book of Luke. We'll close here today. I won't keep you much longer. This is really, really so good. You know, Carol and I, we love you so much. And the only thing that we want to do is to build you up in your faith. The only thing that I want to do is to grow this church in its faith. And I don't mean grow its numbers. I mean grow you in your faith. If we never have any more, which I know we will have, any more than what's already here today, I am amazed by it and I praise God for it. The church supplements our retirement And I praise God for that. Do we make what the average minister in Iowa makes? No, we don't. Do I care about that? Not one drop. Our idea for the church is always for God's will to be done and God's work to be successful. That's all we want, and that's all we want in your life. Last week, I talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I know some people, they just get all quiggly about that when I mention that. But it's in the Word, and you need to know. The problem is with so many people, they don't know because they've never been taught. They've never been shared with them what the meaning of that is and what it does in a person's life. Is that my focus? Absolutely not. My focus is for you to know Jesus and to grow in your faith. But it's something you need to know. It's available to you. In this scripture, we go to Luke chapter 4. Go with me in verse 16. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And when he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And when he closed the book, he gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now, he did not say one social woe in that, did he? He had compassion upon the people because they were sheep that had no shepherd. They needed restoration through their spirit more than they'd ever need it through their physical body. So when we look at that, that is what revolutionizes the problems that you're facing. So I want you to think about this before we close. In that problem that you're facing right now, I want you to look to the spiritual roots of that, and I want you to speak to it. Because every problem, every earthly problem, has its roots in a spiritual issue. Now, let me give you one example. What do you think it would do to the United States of America today if everybody across this country would accept Jesus as Lord and Savior? How many things do we have police and soldiers and all these other people? Because it relates to a spiritual problem, and all we are dealing with is the symptoms of a spiritual problem. Now think about that problem that you're facing before we close today. Is it a problem with the child? Is it a problem in the family? Whatever that you're thinking about it, and I want you to think about it in a spiritual manner, what is the spiritual issue that is in that problem? And that's the issue that you need to be attacking through praise and worship to the God that is the great I Am, because you belong to Him. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for your word. Father, your word is so powerful, so quickening in our hearts and our lives. As we leave here today, bless us, Lord. It's Thanksgiving week. We thank you, Father, for everything that you have done, everything that you're doing, and everything that you're going to do. And we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed this week, church family.